Morning.
And welcome to Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church this morning. Welcome to everybody joining us on the radio and online. Appreciate that very much. And everyone here in person this morning, let us open our worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Today Your Mercy Calls Us.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, March 12th, 2023 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Casey Jones. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 915, Today Your Mercy Calls Us, hymn number 915 found in the Lutheran service book. The Van Slett and Wieselman families are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in celebration of Samuel Van Slett's third birthday on March 17th. The Kathy Beaver Memorial is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice,
do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness.
When your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the third Sunday in Lent, is from the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, beginning at the first verse. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water there for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go.
Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to Christian questions and their answers, finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament?
That I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sin, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me for a drink, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to him, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go. Call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where the people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our common faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn, Chief of Sinners Though I Be.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 611, Chief of Sinners Though I Be, hymn number 611 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
sermon text for this morning from today's gospel reading. Jesus said, "Believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is Jesus and the Samaritan woman in the conversation that they were having. In the cycle of our readings, this follows hot on the heels of last Sunday's account of Jesus talking with Nicodemus, which ended in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Today we run into the world and the whosoever part of John 3:16. We meet the world and whosoever in the form of a Samaritan woman, the woman whom Jesus speaks with at Jacob's well. Here I think we have a curious encounter. First, there is the mention of time. It was about the sixth hour. Well, we could look at that. That's important because that time is mentioned when it comes to the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ on Good Friday, about the sixth hour, roughly when Pilate, I think, was saying, "Behold your king," and "We have no king but Caesar," was cried back. But there's something else about the sixth hour. That's about noon. It's a pretty hot part of the day, and speculation can only be made about what brings this woman to the well in this time of day when other people would have come to draw water much earlier in the cooler part of the day. Later we hear of this woman's living arrangement, so perhaps she just wasn't a favorite with the other women of the community. Perhaps she didn't want to meet or talk to people. Who knows why she comes at noon instead of earlier in the morning? Whatever the reason, this unnamed woman at the well has an encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. Another reason that this encounter is curious arises from the words of the woman herself. Have you ever been walking alone and see a person a block or a block and a half away, and you wonder how the encounter with them is going to go? Sure you have. But the easiest one of those to say is, you've gotten out of your car at Walmart right around Christmas time, and it's a long walk to the front door, and there's the bell ringer up there at the front door of Walmart. And as you look around, you're going to realize that you and the bell ringer are going to meet at the Red Kettle at the exact same time. Now what do you do? You've already given 5 or 7 times, but you feel embarrassed not to put something in the kettle, and you don't want to walk just right by the person. And so you're kind of planning, do I go for the other door? Do I grab some change out of my pocket or my purse? What do I do? So we've all had that kind of thing. We've also been walking by ourselves down a block or down a street, and you see another person coming. You wonder about that. Now just imagine you're a woman alone at the edge of town, walking on a street or a road where nobody else is walking, and there's a man sitting down right where you have to stop. Might be a little bit awkward. It might be a little bit unnerving. Our imagination can run wild with what she was thinking, what she was planning on saying, if even this complete stranger would even speak to her. In all her planning, though, I doubt she ever thought she'd have an encounter with the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Give me a drink. Give me a... What a simple way to start a conversation. You know, we all think about how these words, how did he say it? How did she respond? Give me a drink. Give me a drink. Give me a drink. And how did she respond?
She's bold, that's obvious, but who knows how she responded to this man? Was it gentle? Was it sarcastic? Was it harsh?
How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?
How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?
I don't know.
We don't have that recorded for us. However the words came out, Jesus responds to her genuinely. He speaks to her of living water. She doesn't see Jesus as the source of the water. Rather, she's thinking of water that would quench her physical thirst. And then Jesus speaks to her of her husband.
That was interesting. And I found myself wondering as I read this, what type of regret would have went through this woman's mind or emotions or feelings.
She was involved in what we today would call serial monogamy. Moving from person to person, marriage to marriage, living with this one and then that one. She's had five husbands. And the man she now has is not her husband. Well, what does that mean? Well, she was either living with him outside of the bonds of holy marriage, a sinful arrangement, or she was having an affair with a married man. Either one would probably fit the words that Jesus said. I'm curious how many regrets this brought to her mind. You also know what that is like. You know your sins, and you know the regrets that flow from your sins. Perhaps you've been in situations when, mindful of your ethical lapses and sinful behaviors, things you've done that have bordered on the scandalous. Well, I mean, they would border on scandalous if anybody else knew about them. You've had that feeling because there sits Jesus. You've had that because there sits Jesus. You're coming to Him today. Coming to have an encounter with Jesus. Coming to meet Jesus. And like this woman, we too have our regrets. Like this woman, we are often still working through and working out our regrets. Like this woman, we too meet Jesus. We meet Him like she did, quietly. It's His way of speaking, I think, that engages people, engages them, and unless they've hardened their hearts, He has a way of getting them to listen to Him, getting us to listen to Him. And this woman recognizes by the exposure of her sin that at a minimum she is face to face with a prophet. Because that's what prophets do. They point out sin. But it is also a prophet's responsibility to point to the place of the forgiveness of sins to those who are repentant. I think that's the gist of her question about where the right place to worship is. If I'm to be forgiven, she asks, where do I go? Our people say it's here at this mountain. Your people say it's in Jerusalem. So where do I go to repent of my sins and be forgiven of them? I can imagine Jesus sitting there at that well, kind of in that moment, looking over her shoulder, looking off into space, but in the same moment looking to the inside of His head and His memories, because it wasn't that long ago, and it was recorded for us in John chapter 2, when Jesus had a confrontation with the temple leaders. He had, for the first time, cleansed the temple, and He was confronted by the Jews, and they asked Him, by what sign, what authority do you do this? And Jesus responded, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. John tells us Jesus was speaking of the temple that was His body. Probably flashed through His mind in a half a second, the same way we have thoughts flash through our minds in half a second. Jesus returns from His thoughts to engage the woman.
You'll not worship at Jerusalem or this place or some other place. Rather, there will be worship in spirit and in truth. What has come to be revealed to us is that where Jesus is, that place is the place of worship. The woman expects the Messiah, and Jesus bluntly says, I am. I am the one you have been looking for. Jesus is the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the new temple in whom is found the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the new temple established for all eternity, and from Him flows living water. John would later write in the book of Revelation, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Jesus then expresses what we know when we worship, that He is the one who worships the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus' church will worship with Him, Him who is the only true Son of God. Jesus' worship of the Father will be to hand His life and His spirit over upon the cross. Jesus will pour forth His life-giving water mixed with His blood, the blood of the Lamb, flowing from His spear-pierced side. For Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is, Jesus is the true sacrifice. He is the new temple. He is the place of the Spirit and the glory of God. Jesus alone worships the Father in spirit and in truth. And those who worship God in spirit and truth are the ones who have been united with Jesus Christ in the worship of the Father. When did this union take place? This union took place at your baptism. There in the holy waters you were united with the Messiah. You are united with His passion and His death. And in that connection with Christ, you are grafted into the Son and the relationship that the Son has with the Father. His relationship with the Father is now your relationship with the Father. And in this relationship, you have been made one with Christ, and the life you now live is the life of the Spirit, namely the life of faith according to the Father's will, trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And that brings us right around to the encounter. Because we Christians too come to this place with our regrets. Our sins lead us to our regrets, and now we're encountering Jesus specifically. Specifically today in the sacrament of the altar. Worship Him. And that means take Him at His word and trust His promise. My body, My blood, for you. For the forgiveness of your sins. Well, that's what we were saying in the opening hymn. Today your mercy calls us to wash away our sin. However great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long from mercy our hearts have turned away, Your precious blood can wash us and make us clean today. Encounter Jesus. Be forgiven. And be given life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Let us now rise for the singing of the offertory.
have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
We rise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ on the night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
blood of Christ shed for you.
Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace. Please remain standing as it has come to my attention that I omitted the prayers this morning. So we will close with our prayers. Lord Jesus, you have called us to gather this day to your worship you in spirit and in truth. As we encounter you this day, may we have the confidence in the forgiveness of our sins
and that we may leave worship this Lord's Day satisfied with your living water. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, God of hosts, you appointed your Son to suffer on our behalf so that we would rejoice in the hope of glory. Lead all Christian fathers to stand in your grace, that they would live faithfully for the sake of their families, urging them always towards eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Dear Jesus, hear us as we pray for Carol Schwantz's family, as Carol has answered the summons to the heavenly throne room. Be the rock and foundation of Carol's family as they grieve and mourn. Cause them to look forward to a glorious reunion in the resurrection and the joy of life everlasting. We also pray for Nancy Gunterman's family, her aunt Cheryl, as they mourn the death of Nancy's uncle, Dean Harfst. Lord, shower them with your grace and your mercy. May they also look forward to the resurrection of the dead and a glorious reunion on the day of Christ's return. And most gracious God, we ask also that you would comfort April Mox as she mourns the death of her grandmother, Joanna. We ask for your peace to rest upon April and her family, that in their grief they also rest confidently in the certainty of the resurrection for those in Christ and a joyful reunion with those they love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
God of the nations, have mercy upon this world of ours as it flounders in flagrant wickedness. O God, war and disaster would be a just punishment upon the nations who reject your will and who spurn your grace. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, and instead of the just rewards for our spiritual rebellion, cause nations to repent. Please relent of disaster and make the church bold to stand on your word so that many come to eternal life. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Just a couple extra things for our announcements this morning. Rod and Peggy Meyer. Rod was so excited. He couldn't hold back. He got to go up. He's going to a baby shower today. It's true. And he was looking forward to cake, I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, he's at a baby shower, so is Peggy. So I'm combining the two adult Sunday school classes together into one in the big classroom. There is no youth group this evening. I know Olivia has an announcement about the potluck that you see listed on page 15 of your bulletin. Olivia, if you could come down front. And do you want the microphone, or are you going to try and just project your voice? All right.
Next Sunday is going to be our potluck. We'd love to see you all there. If you guys could just bring a meat dish or a dish to pass or dessert of your choice. We'll be doing bingo after we eat. Family that comes with their best green outfit, we do have a prize for you guys. So dress your best. We'd love to see you all there.
And this is a whole congregation event,
yes,
not just youth.
Whole congregation. So if you want to bring the kids, we'll have games for the kids downstairs, coloring pages, everything. So we've got it all covered.
Okay, wonderful. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.